Welcome, everyone, to Freedom Law School's weekly conference call on this Thursday, May 12, 2016. This is Peyman Mutahedeh, the founder and president of Freedom Law School, and your host for this weekly program, in which I do my best to answer any and all of your freedom law questions that you may have, whether it's the IRS or state income tax agency or the police or bureaucrats of any kind. I can take care of all your questions that you may have and help you live free now. And folks, that's why Freedom Law School was founded. I came here to America in 1977 at the age of 14, looking for freedom, thinking I came to the land of the free and home of the brave. And I found myself in the land of the meek and the home of the indentured. Yes, the U.S. Constitution is being violated, and we have to restore it. We have to hold our public servants accountable in government. The legislatures, the judges, the executive branch, they all have been disconnected to a large degree from the people and the people's rights they were sworn to defend, according to the Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution. So in 1996, folks, over 20 years ago, after learning these things for a few years from wonderful patriotic Americans, I started sharing the education that I was bestowed upon me with others with Freedom Law School. And I've been doing it since then, folks. And let me tell you this, folks, it's been a ride. Freedom Law School is one of the biggest political enemies of the IRS. That's right. About 5 years ago, IRS told me that at that time he had over 8,000 pages of documents he had amassed about me and Freedom Law School to try to get me. They have all these agents and lawyers get together on a regular basis to conspire against me and Freedom Law School. You know, they're because they're afraid. They're afraid of the truth. They are afraid that the American people will wake up and realize that we have lost the control of our government and get rid of this corrupt regime we got going on with the IRS, and these bureaucrats will be out of job. These politicians will be replaced. These judges might even get replaced, some of them. And folks, people are starting to wake up. This year is a year of the outsider, folks. People realize that whether you have George Bush or Clinton or Obama, they're all the same. They are a bunch of corrupt criminal politicians out there who lie to the people to get elected. And that's why people are getting outsiders. Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump are out there. Donald Trump already won the Republican nomination for presidency, and Sanders gets a lot bigger crowd show up to listen to him than the crooked Hillary. So, folks, we're not finished. We're just getting warmed up. Believe it or not, we are just getting warmed up. There's a lot going on that you want and you need to know that's been going on with this out-of-control government I'll be sharing with you. I emailed you, and I put it on our Facebook page, that the Clinton White House said that the legality of the income tax is not a high priority item at the White House. And the White House will not participate in any conference on the subject. That is a true statement. And that will be brought up in a federal district court in California next month. And I'll be reporting about that for you on a regular basis, folks. So stay tuned. I'm going to talk about that issue in more detail, how this all is going to be coming out in the federal district court before a jury of American people. We are going to put practically the IRS and the United States government on trial. So if you haven't checked out Freedom Law School's website at livefreenow.org, please do so. livefreenow.org. www.ourfaith.org is our website. Make sure you sign up to get our 1 year of free freedom law education by signing up for it at livefreenow.org. You're going to get some of that sent to you by mail, and the rest of it will be sent to you by email during the course of the year. The education that you should have been given in high school, but we're not. So, folks, what I'm going to do in just a minute is I'm going to take your questions, but I want you to know where Freedom Law School comes from. I believe the income tax system is a giant fraud. There is no law that requires the average American like you or me to file and pay the federal income tax. It's a scam. It's simply because the politicians want it, because the big bank and corporations, the special interests that buy off the politicians, want it. They just want the money. They don't care about the law. They don't care about the U.S. Constitution. Well, folks, we're going to get this country back, and this education is going to start in a few minutes. But first, I'm going to do what I do every week and answer your freedom questions. If anybody has any freedom questions, folks, I'm here to answer it for you tonight with total privacy. So, if you have a question at this time, they call from area code 434. By the way, do you have an echo on your line, my friend? You have a speaker. Take yourself off a speakerphone, the caller.
From area code 434.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
So the echo would be gone. We have an echo on your line. Yes, but you have an echo.
All right.
Tell you what, I'm gonna put you on hold. Give you a chance to get yourself off speakerphone, because for either use the internet line that causes the echo or speakerphone, but there's echo on the line, my friend, when I put you on. So hold, let me get to the other caller from area code 479, and then I will come back to the caller from area code 434 after that. If you have a question, please announce yourself at this time. Kid, they call from area code 479, does not have a question. We have a caller calling from area code 801 in Utah. If you have a question, please announce yourself now.
Yes. Payman, this is John. Do you have a procedure for getting rid of liens and levies?
Yes and no. It depends on your situation, John. I don't have a magic bullet to get rid of them every time guaranteed, but there are procedures you can challenge the IRS, and based upon that, you may be able to get the lien and levy removed and stopped. What is your situation that you got? How much IRS has lien or levied you? Since when, for how much, for what years?
I don't remember the years, but it started last April, that I've been fighting with them for probably 30 years. And in last April, they put a $102,000 lien on me, and they're taking 50% of my retirement check from my employer, and they're taking $1,100, I believe, and $25 from my Social Security for a total of around $1,400.
Okay. Do you have any? You don't have any idea what year it is for. Do you know what years it is for?
I don't. I don't remember the years, but I've been in this fight and quit filing since 94, approximately.
Mm-hmm. Well, very often the IRS does not follow the proper procedures in doing these things. And so if that is being the case, that in your case probably too, then you should be able to go to federal U.S. District Court and challenge the IRS and get the lien removed, the levy stopped, and get the money that the IRS taken from you legally returned. So, but
do you
I need
have
to look
a...
at your paperwork. There's, I don't have a template. I don't have a guaranteed thing. I can't send you a letter. You can send them to do that. No, I gotta go over that with you and tell you about it, because you have to go to the federal court to challenge the IRS. It's not a thing you can just write up and then, you know, because the IRS is going to respond and say, no, everything is fine. It's good. There's no problems. You know, and then you got to go back and respond back to the IRS and their papers and documents and their arguments.
Okay. Me and my buddy Arno have the same problem, but I have more money coming out than he does. I actually have $858 of Social Security to live on. If it wasn't for my wife's Social Security, we'd be done.
Okay, well, then we should probably do a one-on-one consultation with both of you together. At the same time,
All right.
Can talk to both of you because you have the same problems, essentially.
Okay. Thank you, Payman.
Let's get somebody else. Get somebody else. Okay, let's now go to the next caller we have, folks. All right, folks. Let's see. We can now go back to our call from area code 786. Call from area code 786. If you have a question, please give me your first name and then go ahead and ask your question. Okay. The call from area code 786 does not have a question. And we are going to go to the call from area code 434, who still has an echo, my friend.
Okay. I'm calling from a house phone. It's unusual that you have an echo.
Well, looks like the echo is not so bad now, but let's try it out. Go ahead, my friend. What's your name?
My name is Keith.
Keith.
I'm calling from the state of Virginia. Recently, in Halifax County, there was a young man that was pretty much killed by local law enforcement with the use of tasers. What I would like for Freedom Law School to address is the use of terminology by state prosecutors and investigators to kind of pacify the public as a reasonable excuse for the use of excessive force by law enforcement. I have a brother who works in law enforcement, and he is working hard to implement changes, but those changes will not take effect at his level. My question is, why has the federal government not offered some type of mandate or step in to mitigate these issues that are happening and to oversee the use of the terminology to kind of pacify the public for actions that are wrong?
I'm not sure what terminology are you speaking about, my friend. Could you elaborate on the
yes,
why
sir.
The terminology is so important? What terminology are you speaking
yes,
about?
Yes, sir. In the case in Halifax County, it was excessive use of tasers. The young man was pretty much shocked to death. I think it's actual video footage of the young man getting shocked. He was pretty much electrocuted at a hospital. He was running into a hospital, handcuffed behind his back, fell on the ground. He was hit with tasers, multiple tasers. The terminology given by the state prosecutor's office was the actual medical report saying that he had cocaine in his system, and it was from shock to his heart. And they were saying that one taser used for 15 seconds was adequate. Clearly, in the video, there is more than one taser being used and applied by multiple characters. So they're using the one taser effect to kind of pacify the excessive use of force.
Well, so what's your question about all that? You said a lot of things, but
right.
They lie. Bottom line is that they're liars. You got a bunch of liars in government who want to protect each other, but, you know, crooked people get in government.
Right.
And really, at the local level is really where things are at. You know, the local city mayor and council members, they're the ones that you need to contact and say, hey, what kind of an idiot do you hire? They're supposed to protect us, not hurt us.
Right. What my question is what is Freedom Law School, along with other law schools like UVA, Harvard, what are you guys doing to kind of address the issue as far as the federal government not getting involved with these issues? Cases like George Zimmerman, the guy from New York that got choked out, the Mike Brown case, several cases that have conspired that, you know, have just been swept under the rug, so to say, because I worked in federal government as a soldier. And I know, based on our criteria, what we are supposed to do and what we're not supposed to do. It's called the Geneva Convention. How come the government doesn't have a mandate set up for states as a requirement?
I'll tell you what. The reason is because what American, our public school system hasn't taught us that America is not a country. America's 50 countries in the Union. California is a country. Texas is a country. New York is a country. You know, Alabama is a country. So every country is a sovereign state, just like you have Germany, Italy, France. They're all in a union, European Union, but they're all their own countries. So the federal government has only limited powers in the states. And that was by design.
Right.
Because big government represents the interests of the big, rich people who have the money to pay the politicians to get their name out in front of the tens of millions of people.
Right.
The small
John,
government, that's why.
Is there a way that we could... Yes, sir. Is there a way that we could connect the dots to kind of prove this prosecutorial misconduct between, you know, state prosecutors?
Yes. Go to your county grand jury, and talk to them. Your county grand jury. Go to jurypower.org. I'll give you a website.
Okay.
Jurypower.org. Okay. That's another website that I founded. And it educates you about the right and power of juries to go after corrupt criminal government officials, whether it's a police officer, prosecutor, judge, it doesn't matter. They can go after anybody out there and indict all.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I really appreciate that.
So go to jurypower.org. I would look up right now as you're speaking to me right now. Look up online. Sure enough, the Virginia does have a grand jury system like most do. And the grand jury is made up of people, not professional government workers, you know, but actually the people. Yeah, in fact, I just went online and Googled. You can go on Google. I typed in the Virginia grand jury process. And the first thing that came out was Handbook for Virginia Grand Jurors. The first thing.
Okay, great.
I click on that, and right there it educates you about grand jurors, like nature of grand jury, the function of the grand jury. So you didn't know about these things.
No,
you know,
sir.
About the grand jury system much at all, my friend?
No, sir. We have not been provided a way to actually speak as a people. And I think that's the main problem as far as the failure of the U.S. judicial system right now.
No, the main problem is not the judicial system. The main problem is our ignorance. We were not, you are not taught these things in high school. I wasn't taught these things in high school. So don't feel bad that you find yourself ignorant of what I just told you, my friend. That's exactly why Freedom Law School was there. Freedom Law School is not like Harvard and Yale Law School. It is not for you to become an attorney or a lawyer. I don't, at Freedom Law School, spit out lawyers. Freedom Law School is for you, a concerned American like you, who's tired of a corruption and criminality and lawlessness. And rather than going out there putting hands out to, hey, how come mommy, daddy, federal government doesn't help out of state? Forget about that. You and your local grand jury, you the citizens, can take charge. That local citizen grand jury with people like you can go and indict and charge the policemen involved. The prosecutors covering up for them. And the judges necessary who may be covering up for them. You didn't know that until now. Well, Freedom Law School gets you that knowledge. And you should. So you, do you know you could run? You could be on those grand jurors yourself. You could be part of that crowd that could indict these corrupt officials and put them on trial for a jury trial.
Very good. Thank you so much, John. Also, how do you feel about a write-in vote? Because that's something that's not on ballots now, a write-in vote.
What about it?
I don't think that the American public is aware of write-ins.
Well, a lot of people are not aware of it, but even even if a lot of them are, and if you do write it, the problem with writing vote is that you're not going to get, unless you have a mass understanding that this person, you know, wants to run and his name could not be in the ballot, it's going to get enough votes.
Right.
I mean, there's no reason really that as somebody who wants to run for power, run for office, I should say, can I get the name on the ballot? It's not that hard. You just follow simple procedures. Now, if you got to win the nomination of your party, run a competition with other people, that's a different issue, of course. You got to win that nomination fight, but it's not hard, to get your name on the ballot. You don't have to do writing. That's the last resort type of thing in rare cases.
Yeah, well, the way we're looking right now, we need to take a real analysis of it because right now what we're looking at is more corruption, unfortunately.
Yeah, of course.
That's yes, why
you
got. Thank you, John.
You're welcome. Paymon, this is Paymon, my friend. Good luck to you. Okay,
okay.
Look up the handbook for Virginia grand jurors. Okay, and
all
go
right.
Look for more information on Virginia grand jury, okay?
All right. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome, my friend. Okay. All right, I'm going to see if there's more people on the conference call that may have a little questions to answer for you. We have a call from area code 954. A call from area code 954 if you have a question. Please announce yourself.
Yeah, I do have a question.
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. What's your name, by the way?
My name is Mike, and I'm calling from Florida. The IRS recently taped a notice to my front door stating that I owed $750,000 in back taxes from the years 2004, 2005, 2007, and 2009, which I do not, let alone owe it. I haven't even made it. And I was actually out of work for a couple of years during that period. So I don't have the first clue in how to address them because I don't want to say the wrong thing. I don't want to incriminate myself under the Fifth Amendment. So I'm kind of found your Freedom School, talk to Darlene. I'm getting on the air with you now, and then I'm going to give her a call for a consultation tomorrow. But I don't know how way to even start with something like that.
Well, let me ask you a couple of questions to get a better idea of your situation, Mike. What did you do for a living back then and from years 04 to 09, and what do you do for a living now?
I was a chiropractor and worked in multiple offices as an interim doctor. Basically, right now, I'm actually since 2013 when the business started closing down. I've actually filed for disability, which I haven't got. And that's also bringing up issues and concerns. Because I was going to apply for Social Security, and now hearing the last call saying they took money out of his Social Security, now I'm concerned with that. So right now I'm doing just a small amount of consulting on the side just to keep myself floating, getting a little bit of help from family members and trying to figure this out before I, you know, go full bore because I have no clue where to start with it.
Okay. And, okay. Did you have a stock brokerage account at that time? Did you use banks a lot during that time? That may have you.
No, not at that time. Prior to that, I did, but not during that time. What was happening from that time, 2004, My divorce was going on then, and actually my ex-wife ended up getting the larger, for that matter, everything. But they didn't have anything to take. They didn't have anything to tax. There was like no money laying around unless somebody billed an enormous amount of money under my license. Again, I haven't gotten on the phone to ask for a transcript. Because I don't want to tip my hat until I know what to do, you know, step A, step B.
Well, one of the things I want you to do is to go to the IRS office nearest you in person, ask them to give a transcript of all your years for 2002 to the present time. And that will not hurt you. They're not going to target you because of that. You say, you know, hey, I'm going to see what's going on with my IRS situation. Maybe I can take care of payment, but I don't know how much, for what, how many years, which years. I want to get from the IRS straight. And they'll give it to you. It's not a big deal. Okay?
Okay.
That's important that you get that. And they'll get a transcript of assessments and payments.
Okay.
Transcript of assessments of and payments, which shows how much IRS has assessed against you, how much you paid, if anything, and how much is left.
Okay.
That will also show the procedures and steps the IRS has taken to come after you.
Okay. Now, I've spoken to different tax, agencies on speaking with them to help me, and one is telling me that I can go into the uncollectible. Another one is telling me that I'm a hardship. These are all new terms to me. And again, is the first step just asking for that transcript, and then we'll figure out where to go from there once I know what's going on?
Well, that might be the way to go for you. Right now you don't have any money, sounds like, so they cannot take anything from you. You don't have anything to take. That is true.
Right.
Okay. Also, I'll be concerned about your situation as far as what happened if you had multiple offices. Why did you close it up? Because I'm very much into alternative health, and been a chiropractor friend for a long time. I've believed in and done chiropractic, with chiropractors for over 20 years. I'm kind of curious to see why a successful chiropractor with even multiple offices will have to close up his offices. That's very strange to me. Why couldn't you just keep doing it?
Well, actually, I was open at the time of my divorce, and just due to a lot of things happening at the same time, I just decided to close a one office situation, and then I worked with different people that owned multiple offices as their interim doctor. So I worked for different, let's just say, entities that owned several offices, and one I was at for 2 years, one I was at for 3 years, another one I was at for 1 year, to get to the point now where I file for disability because I physically can't do what I have to do.
Well, so then maybe there's some other solutions to get you back to health, by the way, my friend. So that you can work, because that's the key thing for your situation. You know, we can talk about that also, about all that. I know some alternative health practitioners that can probably help you get back to health also. So
great.
But get whatever paper you have that claims that you owe the IRS all these monies, get all that to me.
Okay.
And let's see what's going on. You know, and
all right,
let's
appreciate
see, evaluate it. I can tell you where to go, because you have different ways to go depending on precisely what's going on. It's kind of like a chiropractor. Someone calls you, I got this back pain and neck ache.
Yep.
What are you going to tell them? I got to come see you, examine you. Maybe
gotcha.
Take an x-ray, right?
Yep. Well, I understand.
Back what you got going on, my friend, okay?
All right. It makes sense.
All right.
Thanks a lot, Ben.
You're
appreciate
welcome,
it.
Mike. Stay on the call, my friend, and maybe other people's questions and answers will be also interesting to you as well, my friend.
Thank you. Okay.
Very good. Okay, folks. Let's see. Matt, I think we took care of everybody, didn't we, tonight, who may have had a question. So, okay, folks. I'm going to go to the subject of the call, folks, that the class. Every conference call Thursday night, I do a little mini class on the subject of freedom and law and your rights, oftentimes on the IRS. Well, this one is going to be a case that's going to be in California, in which practically the U.S. government and the IRS will be put on trial That's right, about the illegality and the fraud of the income tax. That's right, folks. We're going to be able to put the government on trial. Now, the government, technically they are trying a gentleman named Richard Grant, in U.S. District Court in Oakland, California, at 1301 Clay Street, like C-L-A-Y Street, third floor, the chief judge, Judge Hamilton. Okay. However, in practice, what's going to be happening here, Mr. Grant is going to explain to the jury about how come he doesn't believe that he's required to file and pay income tax. And he'll be able to do that and explain reasons for what he did and how he did it. And what Mr. Grant did, folks, is he heard about an IRS special agent, student of Freedom Law School, called Joseph Bannister, who had heard about income tax fraud, and he confronted the IRS about all this. And the IRS never answered him. While Mr. Bannister was working for the IRS enforcing the tax laws with a gun. He was a gun-carrying IRS special agent, and he asked the IRS in a book report to show where is a law that requires the average American to file and pay the federal income tax. And the government never answered him. Never attempted in any way to refute his findings. And then when he quit the IRS, a nonprofit foundation took this former IRS special agent, Joseph Bannister, to debate with the IRS publicly on national TV on C-SPAN 2 in Washington, D.C., just a few blocks from the IRS's headquarters at the White House. And guess what? Neither the IRS nor the White House nor the U.S. Department of Injustice would send one employee, one lawyer, anybody to show that Mr. Bannister was wrong and the average American is required to file and pay the federal income tax. And what Mr. Grant did, he heard about it and wrote to his congressmen and senators. The Senator Barbara Boxer and Dianne Frankenstein, two of the most evil criminal senators I believe we have in America, as well as this congressman. And none of them answered him. None of them could refute Mr. Joe Bannister's findings that he asked them about. If this guy's wrong, off the rocker, you tell me. You are the lawmakers. Who knows the law better than the ones that actually write the laws? And so you're going to see in there that this nonprofit foundation had even at one point, the head of it, talked to an official of the Clinton White House, Mr. Jason Furman, who is still in politics right now. He's still some government employee of some higher level, I understand. But he was a senior economic advisor for the White House and was speaking on behalf of the White House, Bill Clinton. And he said that the legality of the income tax is not a high priority item at the White House. And we, meaning the White House, will not participate in any conference on the subject. But why? Why wouldn't the government, the federal government, the White House, care about the legality of the income tax? Isn't it the job of the government to enforce the law by following the law themselves, by making sure everything, every step that the government takes is legal. If they don't care about their actions being legal or not, well, then there's a name for that. It's called stealing. It's called thievery. It's a crime. Only outlaws steal. And they don't care the money's legal or not. Take money without it being legal. I have a legal authority behind taking someone's money. But folks, that's the kind of government we have now. It goes way before Bill Clinton. Bush the senior father, Reagan, Carter, Ford, Eisenhower, Johnson, Kennedy. Folks, this goes back, way back there. They've had this scam called the income tax going on for decades, and they don't care if it's legal or not. Because to them, it's all about the money. And they've convinced a large number of American people that, well, what does it matter? Because, well, without the money, you know, we can't have roads and schools and, you know, protect us from bad guys. Because the average American does not know that none of those things are provided by the federal government. It's a local county and city and state that provide for schooling, education, police, fire, a lot of the stuff that we come to depend on government should provide. It's actually provided by local government, not the federal government. But the problem is people don't know how government is organized in America. We had a caller right now who was asking for the federal government to come step in and clean up the local police. Why? Why have to go to the distant emperor in Washington, D.C.? It's your local problem, your local citizens, your local grand jury. Citizen grand jury can and should solve this kind of problem. Because we're not taught about grand juries. So we're not taught about these things in our public school system, in our public schools. So we don't know what our options are, what we can and should do. So that's where Freedom Law School comes in, to educate you. That's why I started a course back in 1996 called A Practical Road to Freedom from Oppressive Taxation and Control. A course of action for those who are committed to living a free life. And that course comes with a 90-day unconditional 100% money-back guarantee for 90 days, which will be extended over a year if you wanted to. Not a problem. Why? Because it's education you want and need to have. That was not taught to any of us in high school or university. I was not taught that stuff. So folks, go to our website at livefreenow.org. Freedom Law School provides education that you will not find anyplace else. We'll give it to you, much of it for you for free. Just get on our email list and you're going to get that. Our courses offer more. And also if you need assistance, get these fees off your back, IRS and more. No problem, because I believe that America should be returned to its greatness by following what the founding fathers of America intended when they wrote the Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution over 200 years ago. If you get back to our roots of freedom and rule of the law, folks, everybody's life will be so much better. We have much more peace, prosperity, and happiness in America that we haven't had. So, folks, tell your friends about all this. Tell your coworkers, folks. Get on your Facebook page. Become a fan of Freedom Law School. Tell them about Freedom Law School, folks. It's a word-of-mouth effort. You can go online, tell your friends, family members. Check it out. More people are not waking up. All these people who are showing up to stadiums and filling up 20, 30,000 people in stadiums for Donald Trump, they know something is wrong in the system. They know it stinks. Go tell them. Go educate them. We will send you CDs of Joe Bannister, the former IRS special agent, who defected from the dark side of the IRS and corrupt politicians to the side of we the people and the U.S. Constitution. His eye-opening speech, you can go on YouTube. Just type in Joseph Bannister. It'll come up. But the CD, you give it to somebody, they will listen to it in their car. When everybody's stuck in traffic, most everybody. Let's start waking up the people, folks, and get the word out there. Freedom Law School is there as a source of freedom education for you and a source of freedom solutions for you. So with that, let me remind you, folks, if you're anywhere near the San Francisco Bay Area, definitely you want to meet this trial. June 13th, the trial of Rick Grant will get to the part that we will, in practice, put the IRS on trial. I'll be testifying about all this. So will Mr. Joseph Bannister. Yep. On trial will be, write down information, folks, U.S. District Court in Oakland, California. The address is 1301 Clay Street, C-L-A-Y, in Oakland. Third floor, courtroom of Judge Phyllis Hamilton. This is actually the chief judge, by the way, of the Federal District Court. Very interesting case, folks. Yes, yes, yes. The chief judge will be having this case. And we're going to, this Mr. Rick Grant will be found not guilty because there is no law requiring Rick Grant or you or me, the average American, to file and pay the income tax. The government cannot and has not ever publicly come and shown the law that requires the average American to file and pay income tax, and they will not be able to do it this time of year, be here either. Be there, folks. Folks, if you need to get a ticket, fly out there, do it. It's worth it. There's going to be a trial of a lifetime for you. You're going to get to see how the trials really work and how you can win and live free. So I look forward to seeing you in person because I will be there, folks. I will be there before June 6th when the trial is scheduled to start. But June 13th, Monday the 13th, is where we're very likely that Mr. Rick Grant will get to present his part to the jury of 12 American citizens. We get to judge him and pass judgment practically on the IRS and U.S. government saying they don't care about the legality of income tax. They just want the money. So with that out, folks, I'm going to wish you a good night and invite you to come back on this weekly commerce call. Ask any freedom questions you have, freedom law questions, and I'll be here answering your questions again. Good night, everybody.